This is our number
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
That's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. And, man, we got a lot of news here. By the way, coming up at 1:30, a friend of mine, who I do the pre- and post-game show with, Paul Moyer. Because, I don't do a lot of sports topics. We always talk to Pete Carroll on Fridays. But Paul was fired up. Did you hear about these NFL Hall of Famers?
No.
They 20 of them just signed a letter, and they sent it to the NFL Hall of Fame, and they said because they are in the Hall of Fame, they think they deserve an annual salary of $300,000 because they are Hall of Famers.
How do they come up with that figure?
I have no earthly idea.
Argument.
But Paul was just livid about this. And so I'm going to talk to Paul about it because usually pro athletes are about working for what they get. I mean, it's the ultimate meritocracy. You're not given anything. And these guys want to just be... And usually these are the guys who made the most money in their career. They're in the hall because of their teammates elevating them.
Right. And the whole point of being in the Hall of Fame is for the honor of it, not for the financial aspects.
And it's all subjective. You're voted in. So think of the shiftiness of, I'll give you $10,000 if you vote for me so I can make $300,000 a year. I don't know. The whole thing's very weird. So we'll talk about that a little bit later today. One of my battles constantly is about language and how people just repeat what we are told by government to, what to call things. You have the heroin death sites, for example. Government calls them safe injection sites. And the RV camps are safe lots. Even though I don't think anybody would let their 8-year-old child walk through unaccompanied. Which, if it was truly safe, you would. And government's just always playing with words. And I've got another one that's a burr in my saddle. Headline, Seattle Times. Durkin makes pitch for free community college plan. And it's about how, Jenny Durkin, she wants community college for every Seattle public school student. And, of course, for somebody like you, who lives and works in the city and pays taxes, and you also spent a fair amount of money sending you've talked about it often, sending your kids to Blanchette, a private school.
Yes. Yeah, well worth the cost, but yes, I did not get to take advantage of the money that I've put into public schools.
So you're paying into the public schools with your property taxes. You paid for private school, and most people do that because they think it's going to give their kids a better education than the public schools. And yet, you would not be eligible, even though you're paying every bit as much in taxes as everyone else. Your kids, who have gone on to great colleges, but if they wanted to take advantage of this community college program,
I would not be eligible.
You would not be able to, which is ridiculous. But the problem I have with this is that they're calling it, and, the Seattle Times, bless their heart, but they just keep repeating the government words of free community college. And then it points out that the Seattle Promise Program is part of a $637 million levy vote this November. So it's not free community college. It's asking taxpayers to pay for other kids' community college. But there's nothing free about it. And the fact that they call it that, and it just bugs me when the media starts repeating things, because stuff isn't free. People pay for it. Taxpayers have to raise their property taxes. And they just...
Could it be just out of a matter of expediency?
But expediency just isn't so. And the problem with this is we keep repeating this to kids, too. we're going to give you free college. We're going to give you free Orca cards.
There's no such thing as a free anything.
No. And if it is more expedient, then we should say, let's push expediency down the priority list and let's call it what it is. It's other people paying for other kids' college. And there's nothing free about it. And I'm tired of the message that keeps getting pounded home, because I think it's a dangerous and damaging one to kids. Free Orca cards, free college, free everything. Yay! Everything's free in life. And it just ain't. People's taxes have gone through the roof. So that's my plea. Let's stop calling drug lots safe lots. Let's stop calling heroin injection sites safe injection sites. And let's stop calling a college plan that's going to cost taxpayers two-thirds of $1 billion free college. Because it's just a lie. I hate lies. Next up in the Fastest 15, I got to do some lighter fun stuff here. It's Friday, for crying out loud. Have you ever seen Kiss in concert?
No. Have you?
No. Although I get why they're so popular. They're, you know, they've what a career they've had. They were relevant when I was
in the 70s,
junior high school.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, when I was
12
years old.
I mean, when I was visiting Germany, I remember seeing pictures of Alice Cooper, like in the 70s.
Alice Cooper's not in
Kiss. Kiss?
Yeah, Kiss.
What am I thinking of?
You're thinking of Gene Simmons.
Gene Simmons, that's what I meant.
But Alice Cooper is still relevant, too.
Yeah.
And I was mentioning, I think that, so back in the day, before I was producer of the show, I was filling in as producer, and Gene Simmons stood you up. And then after I took over, I tried to schedule him again, and he stood you up again.
How old is Gene Simmons?
Let's see. I'm going to guess. Let me guess before you look. I'm guessing he was 28 in 74. So that would have been, what, 44 years ago? 44 and 20. I'm going to guess he's 72.
He's actually 60.
What?
You were a little high.
What?
Yeah, his birthday is
60.
August 25th, 49.
I just distinctly remember the tongue.
Oh, just... yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can't be 60. When did they have their first hit? He would have been like 18 when they had their first hit.
Wrong. You know what?
He's born in 1949.
Yeah, 49, so he can't be 60. You know what's weird is I just Googled it, and there's a death date, and so it's saying he died at 60. But he's not dead.
No. 49, so he'd be 67 or 8 right now.
Why is Google wrong?
I don't know. It's more of their propaganda.
Can't believe everything on the internet.
Apparently.
Okay. But yeah, so anyway. They've announced their end of the world tour. After a 45-year career, they announced that this next tour is going to be their final one. However, they also announced that in 2000, and they've continued to tour since then. So it could just be, you know, because one thing about Gene Simmons, he knows how to make money. Remember several years ago, the big thing was you could be buried in a Kiss coffin and it would have their logo on it and be painted with all of their stuff. All their crazy stuff.
Okay, I'm just looking at a picture of Alice Cooper and then Gene Simmons. Mm-hmm. They do kind of look alike.
Yeah, Alice Cooper did more of the eyeliner and stuff. Kiss does the full-on mime-type face make. I was driving just the other day, and I heard this song. I remember the girls at James Monroe Junior High. They loved it when Kiss slowed things down for a little piano-based ballad. It's always funny to hear the rockers who would do the occasional song like
this.
Didn't the Rolling Stones had some ballad named after a girl, too. I don't remember.
Reminds me of a Friday night at Skate World.
Did you skate to this?
Time to pair up.
Isn't this too slow tempo?
Oh, you just glide along.
Yeah. But yeah, it was always a big deal when the hard rockers would do their occasional soft ballads. Oh, the girls loved that. Anyway, Kiss is, they're retiring. Next up in the Fastest 15, a very good friend of mine, Joel McHale. He did that show on NBC where, Community with Chevy Chase. And I've heard stories about just how unbelievably difficult Chevy Chase was to work with. He was just, and I've heard that from many sources. I also have a buddy who's done some writing down in Hollywood, and I've heard from him that Chevy Chase is just notoriously incredibly difficult. He just did an interview with the Washington Post, but they recorded it, and he just blasted Saturday Night Live. You know, Chevy was on, I think, just the first season. I think he was only on for 1 year.
It was the first season, and he created Weekend Update. Yeah. That was him.
And since then, he says the show has been horrible, and this is Chevy Chase's biggest regret.
I was shocked about how much I wanted to be back. And I never asked if I could come back. And, you know, by then I had become a big deal. And so I was at the level of hosts of Saturday Night Live. But I missed it terribly. And I didn't think much about a movie career. It just sort of happened.
Of course, he left for the movies, and one of them was with my all-time sweetheart.
Christy Brinkley.
Goldie Hawn.
Oh.
No, Before Vacation. Mm. He did Foul Play, and then he did another one. I can't remember. I think it was Seems Like Old Times, mm-hmm. or something like that. Mm-hmm. He did two movies with Goldie Hawn, and I would always go see those because she was my honey. Her and Olivia. And Goldie also said on this show that if we had met, just like Olivia said, if we had met 40 years ago, no, wait, how old? Yeah, 40 years ago, that she thinks we would have
they
gotten
just
together.
Know how to play you like a fiddle.
Oh, no, she was right. I would have stolen that girl's heart, that Goldie Hawn. Anyway, Chevy Chase, he says he doesn't realize how big a jerk he's been considered to be.
It's jealousy. I've said that to you before, but you can't really say that. Did you just say that writers writing anything negative is jealousy? Yeah, I did. What kind of jealousy? I'm funnier than them? Yeah, I guess maybe. I'm considered good looking? Yeah. There you have it. I'm Chevy. Go f*** yourself.
Wow.
Right?
That's Chevy there. But he says he's a really good guy.
I'm proud to be who I am. Listen, I love that you're doing this. I love that I'm trying so hard to look good. And I love that I actually think I am okay. I'm okay.
Yeah.
That you can write whatever you want. Look, you've shown me what other people have written over the years. It ain't too good. But look, I still did a lot of movies, and I still could star in a show if I want. I still, you know, I've gotten to a place where it doesn't really matter what people write or say, because it's only an instant of my life.
Poor guy. I kind of feel bad. I think he didn't realize everybody thought he was a jerk.
How could you not know that?
I don't know.
I realize that everybody thinks I am. You have to have a little self-awareness.
I watched the whole interview, and he told him that somebody considered him an a-hole.
Yeah.
And he said, really? They wrote that? And then that was his response.
I did not know that. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15. Do you ever feel a little nervous when you let a repairman into your house and they're not in your eyesight the whole time?
I probably should feel more nervous, but I haven't really had that.
You don't have that trepidation?
No.
Okay. Well, this guy didn't either. So he had some carpeting. I think it was carpeting. Anyway, they scratched up his floors. Mm. And so he had to call the company, and they were going to come back and make it right. And the repairman went into his daughter's bedroom. He's got daughters who are 3 and 5 years old. The girls weren't in the bedroom at the time. But I'm going to let KTLA in Los Angeles tell you what transpired after they let the repairman in.
I would have never imagined that somebody would do this.
Caught on a home security camera.
A repairman going through a hamper in a little girl's room, grabbing panties and sniffing them.
Nurse, I watched this video. It is just...
What the?
It is so disgusting.
Disturbing.
And disturbing. And here's a little more.
The footage even captures him stuffing a pair in his pocket.
I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. My wife thought he might have been a little bit creepy, but mm-hmm. I didn't catch any red flags.
Jason Cooper lives in Playa Vista with his wife and 2 daughters. He says movers scratched his floor, so the company paid for a contractor to repair it. However, a Nest brand camera mounted on a crib caught the man doing much more than fixing scratches and nicks. The shocked father says he was in another room when the repairman was in his home and only realized what had been happening in the girl's room when he checked the security footage after the contractor left the property.
I wonder what made him check the security footage.
Probably his wife, who said he was creepy.
She felt, she didn't get the good vibe from this guy.
Go with your instincts there.
And then the next clip I saw was him picking up a pair of underwear, one of my daughter's dirty underwear, turning around from the camera, but you can see him bringing it to his face.
Stunned, infuriated, Cooper called the moving company, filed a police report, and even called the repairman and spoke to him directly, letting him know what the camera recorded and that the footage would be shared with news organizations and posted online and on social media.
This gentleman violated my daughter's, you know, 5-year-old.
By the way, this is a pet peeve of mine, too. You know, we were talking about language at the beginning of the Fastest 15. Can we stop calling freaky pervs gentlemen? I hear this all the time in news stories.
I know. That's weird.
Yeah. And I even had...
anything but a gentleman.
I don't remember what the story was, but I had a woman on a few days ago, and she was telling us some horrible story about some guy. And she said, yeah, this gentleman. I go, no, wait a second. He's not a gentleman. Mm-mm. But we got to stop using the word gentleman as the, you know, the catch-all descriptor for every guy, because some guys aren't gentlemen. Just a little pet peeve of mine.
And on social media.
This gentleman violated my daughter's, you know, 5-year-old and 3-year-old's privacy, my family's privacy. Obviously, my wife and I are really distraught over this, and we want other people to know.
But what is going on in the heads of pervs like this? I just for
this,
the
this has weird kind of stuff though has been going on forever.
Oh,
it's
I know.
Just now we're seeing it.
I know it
because there are cameras everywhere.
And I'm glad we have cameras everywhere, but it is so sick and disturbing that it's, you know,
we have a sick and disturbing case right now where there is a guy out going to these Asian markets in the Edmonds area
groping girls. I know it. And it's just sniffing little girls' underwear. It's just, man. We need to, you know what we need? I just thought of this. We got to go back to stockades. Wouldn't that be a good thing? For a guy like this, we need town squares, and we need to put a guy like this in a stockade. Don't you think that'd be good? And we'll have a video monitor.
How about just put him in a courtroom?
Nah. Well,
mental
we'll do that too. This will be the sentence. We'll put him in the courtroom, but then instead of just putting him in jail, he will have to be out in a public square. We'll put a video monitor with him sniffing the underwear on a loop, and we'll put him in a stockade, and we'll let the public deal with it as they please. Wouldn't that be...
Okay. As bad as the sniffing underwear case is, there's a whole lot worse that goes on. So then what?
I would put a lot of people in stockade. It'll be a huge town square. It'll be gigantic. It'll be filled with stockades. Trust me. Just trust me on this.
If you were mayor.
When I'm put in charge, yes, if, and I'll only be mayor if you give me unlimited, unchecked power. But if you do, I'll bring back stockades. I'll put this dude in it and lots of other people. And then we'll whip things into shape around here. Lickety split. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Okay, the news story that got a good friend of mine furious. And I'm going to let him vent next on the Dory Monson Show. not a sports show, but I saw a little tidbit, a little NFL story that might have just passed right by me, except for the text message I got from my friend Paul Moyer, who I do the Seahawks pre- and post-game show with, who was livid about this little news story. Paul Moyer joins us here on Cairo Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Thank you, Dory, for having me, and I'm always here to help you and your listeners.
Okay. That's very sweet of you. Okay, so the story is the guys who are in the NFL Hall of Fame have sent a letter signed by 20 guys, and they say they want an annual salary of $300,000 to be in the Hall of Fame. And you were furious when you saw that. Tell me why.
Well, first of all, I mean, how out of touch are we? You know, we've got so many issues with former players in the NFL that are struggling financially, health-wise, and the ultimate team game. The ultimate. You cannot become a Hall of Famer without your teammates.
Right.
Basketball, you can. Baseball, you can. Football, not a chance. And it's usually the Hall of Famers. You've got to have won a Super Bowl. Most of those guys are there. So it's a team game.
Sure.
And for Eric Dickerson, he's the one who has gone out the most. And some of the guys have backtracked, like Jerry Rice and I'm going to draw a blank on the other. Oh, Kurt Warner, the quarterback.
Yeah.
And said, hey, whoa, we did not sign that letter. We want this for all former players, not just Hall of Famers. But for Eric Dickerson to go and say, you know what, they're not treating us right. We deserve more. I'm going, you know, again, this entitlement, you know, you're a Hall of Famer. It's subjective. Writers vote on it. And now I want what all the other former players who've built the league as well. Yeah, we want something they can't get. I just thought it was so out of touch, and I just it drove me crazy.
And so they said that they may boycott because, and you've been to the Hall of Fame. You've had some friends who have been inducted, right?
Yeah, it's a special, special ceremony.
Yeah, that's what you've told me. Okay, so they said that they may boycott next year's induction ceremonies if their demands are not met. And again, one of the demands, they want $300,000 a year because what? I mean, why do they think they deserve a salary for being in the Hall of Fame?
Well, what I read from Eric Dickerson is he believes that they've built this league. There's $14 billion in revenue. He was making a case for health insurance, and, you know, it would be 3 cents for every $100. You know, to me, it doesn't matter.
Right.
First of all, if you're a Hall of Famer, every time you sign an autograph, there's autograph sessions. You make money on that. And if they really want to do something, then say, hey, any time we represent the Hall of Fame, obviously I get an appearance fee. If they want to say, because you're a Hall of Famer, we'll give you guys $25,000 a year to do some things on our behalf, which you can buy some health insurance with.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a million things that they can do for Hall of Famers. They already get special privileges.
Well, not only do they get
$300,000, I have no idea. It's just insane, and it really takes away from the message of the guys who really do need stuff that they need to do going into this next collective bargaining agreement.
Sure.
And I think it's a horrible message.
Well, and all of these guys, by virtue of their greatness, especially if they played in the last 30 years or so, they made a lot of money playing the game. And so for them to just say, give us 300 grand a year just because of who we are. And here's what was so surprising about this to me, Paul, because, the guys that I do the pre and post with, like you and Wyman and Ray Roberts and Brock, you guys have become among my closest friends in the world. And I've thought about that a lot as to why I get along so well with you guys. And I think it's because, you know, kind of my whole worldview is about self-sufficiently and work your butt off and earn what you get. And that's an absolute necessity in sports. You know, it's a meritocracy. You're not given anything. And I think that's why I get along so well with all of you guys. So that's why it was so shocking for me to hear pro athletes say, give us something for nothing.
Well, and again, it's give us something that my other teammates can't have.
Right.
You know, that's what drives me crazy. What drives me nuts about the union, and you have to have a union in a sport setting. There's only one league, right? So you got to have some representation there.
Yeah.
For the particular, you know, Smith,
the Maurice Smith. Yeah.
He is absolutely the worst. You couldn't get worse. One, he was the guy behind the current collecting the bargain agreement and gave up all the power the players are desperately trying to get back. Not going to happen. They decided to go ahead and re-up his contract. We'll see how that plays out. He endorsed this. I go, who are you representing? You are a nuthead. And so I'm fine with them representing past players, particularly before 1993. Because before 1993, the pension's no good. There's no medical. There's no new. Their retirement post 1993 is fantastic,
yeah,
and they make a lot of money. Pre 1993, I'd argue, you know, like there was hardly $1 million player at that point.
Right.
So represent all of them, and that's my biggest issue. And there's so many other issues out there, you know. And I go, it's like our world today. I go, we focus on the things that aren't that important. And a $300,000 salary for Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Could you imagine, Dory, the lobbying going on at that point? It's a vote. If that was the case, I would hire a PR department.
Right.
And I would lobby
right.
all of the sports writers. A $300,000 for life and medical?
Yeah.
I might even go re-lobby at that point. I'm not sure I'm going to get in,
yeah,
but I mean, I could pay a few people off to get some votes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and here's the most ironic one. One of the guys who signed this letter demanding $300,000 a year salary is Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor, in 1987, when the players were striking, he crossed the picket line because and the players were striking because they wanted better retirement benefits. Because, like you were just saying, that was pre-93. So in 1987, there's a player strike. Lawrence Taylor crosses the picket line, and now he says that he wants better retirement benefits as a Hall of Famer.
What do you think he would do with that money? I already know what he did with his other money.
Yeah,
it's usually not legal.
Yes, all right.
Yeah, I hope when they figure it out, because they really do need to get the former players, the guys that, you know, the 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, and even some of the 90 guys, they got to up that stuff up, because they just got to bring it up to what the current guys are, and I think that would be right.
Sure. Okay. Well, like I said, I might have just missed this story if you hadn't texted me calling them a bunch of selfish B words. So,
well, you know, you got to bring my B out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm working on my daughter's speech for her wedding this Saturday, and I'm trying to bring God into this. And now you're going to let everybody know that I throw curse words and text at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, it was okay, though. It was fine. It was appropriate. All right. Well, we're sure looking forward to the wedding Saturday.
It's going to be a blast. I cannot wait for it, and I can't wait. And as you know, because Kelsey, that was a fantastic day, and I'm hoping the same.
Yeah.
What a memorable day, and it's going to be.
You'll be your heaven on earth. That's my experience with wedding days for your daughter. All right, Paul. It's good talk to you. Appreciate it.
All right, I'll see you soon.
Okay, Paul Moyer, who does the Seahawks pre and post with me. Love to hear your thoughts. What do you think about these Hall of Famers threatening to boycott if they don't get $300,000 a year salary just for being a Hall of Famer? You can text us the Online Trading Academy text line at 98973. That's 98973, and we have lots more straight ahead. I'm Dory Monson. So you've heard the negotiations back and forth between Brett Kavanaugh's accuser, the Supreme Court nominee, and then the Republicans in the Senate, and She wants to come talk to them on Thursday, and she has all kinds of conditions, and they want her in on Wednesday, so they continue to negotiate on all of that. And it's just the question, it's like the Norm MacDonald thing from last week, where he said, we've gone from if 100 women accuse a guy of something, he's almost certainly guilty. And then it became, well, if one woman accuses a guy of something, he might be guilty. And now it's if one woman accuses a guy, he's guilty. And Norm MacDonald last week said, you know, maybe it's gone a little bit too far, the whole Me Too thing, where we're just assuming that something happened because one person says it did. The thing about the Brett Kavanaugh thing is often when the first accuser comes out, if it's a guy who has that kind of, you know, aggressive, awful attitude towards women, if it's legit, usually when the first woman comes out, then others come out of the woodwork and say, well, he did it to me too. Yeah, he did it to me too. And that hasn't happened. So then it's, well, did he do it one time to this one woman at a high school party 36 years ago? And I have no idea. And I don't think anybody has any idea, which is why I find it so annoying. All of these celebrities, Hollywood actresses, they got together and they read the same letter talking about how positive they are that Brett Kavanaugh is guilty of what this woman's accused him of.
Dear Professor Ford, we know how difficult it is to stand up to powerful people.
We want to thank you for publicly sharing your story of sexual violence.
As members of the Senate determine whether Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh
should serve as a Supreme Court Justice.
The Supreme Court Justice. This context is critical.
This is so ridiculous. None of them are speaking from their heart because they were all given a script by MoveOn.org, and they're all reading the same script because the wording, as you can tell, is identical. And I don't know how people allow themselves to be used just as parrot mouthpieces for organizations. Obviously, they don't believe exactly what they're saying, all these Hollywood actresses, because they let somebody else write the script. So they all are just parroting a script that was written for them. They don't know if he's guilty. I don't know if he's guilty. But I'm positive they don't know. But they say in the script that they all do, and we're supposed to take it more seriously because they're Hollywood actresses. It's all insane. Big Lead of Two's next.